Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good.
All the time.
I said God is good.
All the time.
Hallelujah. Still pretty weak. God is good. Amen.
Hallelujah.
All the time.
All the time. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Starting in verse 13. We're going to read through verse 19. The New American Standard reads, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the first installment of our inheritance in regard to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the boundless greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might." Hallelujah. Just some things as you read through this passage of Scripture. He says, after listening to the message of truth, you believed. Amen? You can hear things. You can hear the Word of God. You can hear preaching. You can hear teaching. But if there doesn't come a point in time when you accept it as truth, and you apply it in your life, it's not going to mean anything to you. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to have an effect in your life. Amen? And he goes down in verse 15. He says, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you. This morning, I want to just talk a little bit about, in this passage of Scripture, there's two main keys here to being a successful Christian. But even more importantly, to be an infectious Christian. Amen? We want to be people who... How would you like for people to talk about your faith? Amen? That they've heard about what a person of faith you are. Oh, when the first thing that they say about you when they hear your name mentioned is, oh, yeah, they're Christians. They're good people. They believe in Jesus. Amen? There's something about their family. There's something about them. That's the kind of infectious faith that we should have. It shouldn't be a closet faith. Amen? We need to come out of the closet, so to speak. Amen? We need to get out there and be sharing and be living a life that demonstrates the faith that we have. Paul heard about it. Paul heard it. Man, these people got faith in Jesus. Amen? And in this passage of Scripture, we see two main keys. Number one, we have to come into agreement with the Word. Amen? And believe the Word. And the second thing is we have to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through our lives and minister to people through our lives and minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We shouldn't just try to walk through this life, you know, living our life and not allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us and demonstrate to people the power of God. If not, if you take the power of God out of your life and out of your witnessing and being out there, it just becomes religion.
Amen?
Amen? The number one thing we see here is there has to be a knowledge of God in your life. He said that that you give you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of Him. It needs to be a growing knowledge. Just like in the physical realm, you can't live on last month or last year's nourishment. The spiritual realm is the same. You need a fresh helping of the Word all the time. Your knowledge needs to be refreshed and renewed. Ever been reading through something, reading a passage of Scripture? Maybe you haven't read that book for a while and you read it and you're like, oh, wow, I forgot about that.
Or I didn't see
it before. It's all new to me. Amen? We need to, excuse me, we need to get that. So we need that fresh helping. Our knowledge needs to be refreshed and renewed. You need to read His Word and begin to have your understanding of His will and His purpose revealed to you and strengthened in you. But you just can't have just a knowledge of the Word. You need to have an understanding of the power of God that's present in your life. Amen? We want to be people that we got the God of the universe. We've got all the power of the universe at our disposal. Amen? And yet we shrink back and we don't want to witness because we might offend somebody. Or what about if God doesn't do what I pray? That's not operating in faith or in the power of God. We've got to get past that. Amen? The Bible shows us very clearly that we need the two agencies of the Word of God and the Spirit of God actively working in our lives. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17 and 18. The New King James Version reads, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." The Spirit of God, it will transform you. Amen? He wants to come into your life and He wants to change you. How many of you experienced a change after you made Jesus the Lord of your life? And the Holy Spirit came to dwell in you. That's a promise. Amen? It says in Ephesians that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It was God's down payment to you and said, here you go. I'm giving you just a little glimpse of what the power looks like. But He's there for you and He's in you and He's there for you to use. Amen? To draw on that power. Not just to be there, just so, well, I'm saved. Got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. No, He's there for a purpose. He's there to fulfill the plan and the purpose of God in each and every one of our lives individually to do what God has called us individually to do. To empower us to be the kind of witnesses that the Lord has called us to do and to be. Amen? It's the same power that came into the upper room on the day of Pentecost and filled them, and they couldn't contain what was in them, and they went out and started preaching the gospel everywhere. Amen? It's the same power. We just diminish it so much. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. We want to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. He will transform you, change you. Going to be changed into the image of His dear Son. Amen? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Convicting you and challenging you to change and empowering you and leading you and teaching you and guiding you. He does all those things. so that you can be a better husband, you can be a better parent, you can be a better grandparent, amen, you can be a better employee. He wants to empower you to do all those things. He also wants to empower you to live out your faith in front of people, in front of your family, in front of your coworkers, amen? In front of people at the grocery store, wherever it may be, He wants to empower us to live out that life and be a witness for Him. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27 says that He may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He may present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Hallelujah. Are you part of the church?
Yes.
Amen. When Jesus said, I will build my church, He didn't say churches.
Amen.
He said, I will build my church. One singular church that has the same purpose and the same Holy Spirit and the same Word of God. He said, I'm going to build my church. Amen. And if you're part of the church, you're being washed and you're being regenerated and you're being refreshed through the washing of the Word. Amen? The Word of God will clean you up. It will straighten you up. Right? It'll teach you things you need to be doing and things you need to quit doing. We just got to get into it. We have to have a knowledge of the Word of God. Amen? The Word in Romans 12, 2, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what the will of God is. That word prove there means to test and to examine. There's two agents of transformation, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You need both of them working in tandem to be the Christian, to be the type of believer that God has called us to be and wants you to be, because it's going to be in your best interest. Amen? You can have as much of the Word and you can have as much of the Holy Spirit as you want. It's the truth. Amen? We got to get into the Word. The importance of the Word. Look at Psalm 119, 130. The importance of the Word. We're going to look at the Word. I had this all in one sermon, and yesterday and this morning it's expanded into two. Maybe three. I don't know. So, bear with me. Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. One thing we need to remember, the importance of the word, is it is not a complicated book. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the one who wrote the book. You've got the author right on the inside of you that will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will show you things in the Word. Everybody sitting in here has experienced that. You've been reading the Word and the Holy Spirit has revealed things to you. And He's taught you things. And He's showed you things, right? It's not complicated. As you allow the Word to enter your mind and your heart, you will receive illumination. The lights will begin to go on. How many of you have ever had that aha moment? When you're reading the Word and all of a sudden, it wasn't just one little scripture. It was like things just exploded. And you're like, oh wow. And your mind's going boom, boom, boom. And all these scriptures are coming back to your mind. And it's like, oh, remember over here where it says that. And remember there where it said that. And remember where it said that. And the Holy Spirit takes all that stuff and He puts it together. And you're like, wow. Right? That aha moment. I remember the first year I was saved, it was a struggle. It was a struggle. Because we attended a church that didn't preach the word. It was right here. In this building. The pastor told me right before we left, it's the reason we left was, you can't base your life on what the Bible says. It's just a history book. It's like, okay, it's time for us to leave. Time for us to go. Right? And it was a struggle. I struggled. I was struggling with things. I was reading the Word and I was trying to make sense of things. But I was never being taught the Word and never had anything. But somebody took time out of their day and they came over one night and they knocked on our door and said, I came over, I need to show you some things. Right? And he sat down and he opened the Word and he started showing us some things. And it was like, we got to be willing to go show some people some things. We got to have enough of the Word in us that we can go to somebody and say, here you go. Because the Word brings light. It may be the exact thing that they're looking for. It was to us. Amen. And all them scriptures that I'd been reading and everything else. But when that happened, I had just an insatiable desire to read the Word. It was just there all the time. I had to read the Word, had to read the Word, had to read the Word, consume the Word. Because the lights went on and I was like, wow. And the Holy Spirit was like, I want to show you more. I want to show you more. I want to show you more. And he still today says, I want to show you more. Amen. He's not done with us, no matter how old we are, no matter how long we've been in the faith. He wants to show us new things in the Word. They're not new to us. We've never seen them before. It's like, ooh, wow.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. The Bible is the means that God uses to reveal Himself and His plans for redeeming mankind through the person of Jesus Christ. That's the importance of having a knowledge of God's Word. If you don't know anything about the Bible, you will know very little about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? You'll know very little about Him that is the truth. What you may know is what men and women have come up with ideas about what Jesus is like and who He is. But it's not based on the Word. Amen? Because the Word of God is all about Jesus. The Old Testament is a preparation for Jesus. There's over 300 prophecies written about Jesus that He fulfilled. It's always pointing people to Jesus. Types and shadows. Amen. The Gospels are the manifestation of Jesus in the flesh. And it's the revelation of who our Heavenly Father is and what He's like. The book of Acts is the broadcast or the transmission of Jesus' message through His disciples. It started in Jerusalem and then to the rest of the world. And it's still going on today. The epistles are the explanation of Jesus and His person and His work as it relates to us individually and to the church. And the book of Revelation is the consummation of His kingdom. It's the grand finale. After it's complete, there will be no further need for revealing who Jesus is. Jesus is the absolute center of the Bible. If we want to share Jesus with people, we need to know what the Bible says about Jesus. Amen? We want to be infectious in our faith. We need to be full of what the Bible says about Jesus. Not just an intellectual knowledge, but we need to be filled with that knowledge, and we need to be filled with the power of God. Amen. Not only to explain the word, but to demonstrate the word.
Yes.
Amen. Look at John 5:39. John, Jesus is the absolute center of the Bible. The importance of the word. John 5:39 says, "You examine the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is those very scriptures that testify about me." The word of God points everything to Jesus. Reveals who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. It points mankind to Jesus and the redemption that's found only in Jesus Christ. Psalm 119, 133 says, "Direct my steps by your word, and let not no iniquity have dominion over me." The word will direct you and guide you. It'll keep you from allowing the enemy to get a stronghold in your life. Amen. You recognize and know how the enemy acts, what he does. So we need to have the word of God in us. Isaiah 55. Turn there. Isaiah 55. Should be a familiar scripture to many of us. Isaiah 55. Verse 11. Says, "So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." God's word always. I want to emphasize the word always. Always, 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 always. Accomplishes its purpose. Speak the word. The word is on a mission to change the lives of people. Bring them under God's grace. Bring them under God's provision. Amen. Give people the word. Give it to them passionately. Don't use the word as a club. You ever had the word used as a club on you? I have. It's not a club. It's there to be used. It is a tool, as we will see. It says it will always accomplish what God desires and achieve the purpose for which he sent it. It's the same word. When you see the word accomplish here, it's the same word that's used in the book of Genesis, in the account of creation, time and time again, in Genesis 1, 7, 11, 12, 16, verse 25, verse 20, where God made, God accomplished, God spoke it. Remember, God said, "Let there be," God said, and God made. Everywhere it's the same word that's translated here. His word will accomplish. Throughout that, we see that the awesome power of the spoken word of God. God said it and it happened. God's word is full of power. That's why the enemy doesn't want you to speak the word over your situation. He wants you to be in silence. He wants you to shrink back and to not be bold. You need to speak the word of God over your situation, because it will not return empty. Because what happens when you begin to speak the word of God, you're tapping into the limitless power of God. You're coming into an agreement with what God says about that situation. Whether it's a situation in your life or a situation in somebody else's life, when you begin to speak the word of God, you're bringing the power of God into that situation.
Yes.
Amen? You need to speak the word. Find out what the word says. Speak the word over your situation. Amen? Begin to speak it. Speak it over other people's lives. There has to be a knowledge of God's word in you in order for it to come out of you. Amen? As Brother Jim was talking about this morning, you can't wait till you're in the midst of a storm. Well, you can, but it's not going to be easy. Amen? You can't wait till you're in the middle of a storm to start finding the word. You need to start every day speaking the word over your situation. Amen? Speak the word. Speak the word. Because it is powerful and it will not return void. You don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to have every doctrine of the Christian faith memorized. Amen? You just need to know what the word says, and in general, the character of God and the goodness of God and the loving kindness of God. You need to have all that settled in your heart and settled in your mind from what the word says. And then you just need to trust the Holy Spirit to begin to speak through you and to manifest through you. Everybody in here has shared their faith with somebody, and things come out of your mouth and you walk away and you're like, wow, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
Amen? That's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He's wanting you to use that. He's wanting you to do that. Amen? He's there. Use it. Hallelujah. We have to have something in there. We need to be excited about the Word of God. Amen? As I shared it a few times lately, I shared it at leadership the other night. The reason I do what I do, preach, isn't just because that I'm a pastor, I'm called to be a pastor, I just want to be a pastor. No. I do this because I believe wholeheartedly and am passionate about the message that Jesus Christ will change your life. And if He changed my life and He changed other people's life, He will change your life. And we need to be passionate about that. Amen? It doesn't matter where you grow up in the church. You say, well, I don't have a great testimony. That is a great testimony. You grew up in church and you've maintained that faith your whole life. You've believed that and you've walked that. Praise God. Some of us weren't that fortunate. We weren't raised that way. Some of us had to be delivered from all the garbage that came into our lives. But you still had to walk in that knowledge and you still had to live it out. Amen. What a great testimony that is. Be passionate about it. From a youth. Yeah, I've served God since I was just a little boy or a little girl. Glory to God. Be passionate about it. The devil would tell you, you don't have anything to share with anybody. They don't want to hear what you have to say. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. Can you see that? Why is that? Because they have pushed Christianity. They have pushed the only thing that has the answer for what they need to the background and think it doesn't make any difference. And the church has sat by and twiddled our thumbs and said, oh, that's just the way they are. No, we've got the answer for them. Amen? Suicide is rampant across our country, across the world, because people have no hope and they've just given up. We've got the answer. Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. People, drugs are rampant. Alcoholism is rampant. Pornography is rampant. Why is that? Because they're all looking for something to fill the void. They're trying to numb themselves from everything that's going on around their life. And we've got the answer. We need to be passionate about it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. We don't need to just be playing games. We've got the answer. Look at Jeremiah 23. Everybody doing okay this morning?
Yes.
I said, is everybody doing okay this morning?
Yes.
That's a little better. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 23. Praise the Lord. Verse 28. Jeremiah 23:28 says, the prophet who has a dream may relate his dream, but let him who has my word speak my word in truth. What does straw have in common with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? He's talking to prophets here that are false prophets, that are preaching the wrong thing. Amen? We need to be people. We've got the word of God. We are to speak it faithfully. That word faithfully means with stability, with certainty, with trustworthiness. God's word will consume you and me if we allow it to. He said, my word, is it not like a fire? I thought it was pretty cool that we sang that song today about fanning the embers. Amen? The word's like a fire. Like a fire shut up in my bones. We need to get it out there. We need to be preaching and teaching and sharing the word with people that we come in contact with. Amen? Because you've got the answer for what is going on in their lives. You've got the word of God and you've got the power of God. Your little package of dynamite just ready to explode on somebody. Amen? We should be. It's not just about getting excited and being emotional. Holy Ghost goosebumps. Then we walk away from that and we never share our faith with anybody or never expound on the word to anybody. Amen. When people start blaming God like we read this morning, we need to have enough confidence in the word of God to correct them. Lovingly correct them, but point them to God. Because people aren't going to come to God if they think that God is doing them things to them. He's like an abusive father. That's the world mentality of who God is. Well, God did this and God did that. And God did, you know, it's an act of God that my house was destroyed in a storm. It's an act of God that whatever. It's not God. He's not the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We need to refocus people, lovingly refocus them and say, nah, that's not God. That's the devil. And see what their reaction is. Who cares if they look at you like a cow at a new gate, as Dad Hagin always said. Amen? Then you can open the door and go walking right in there. Amen? Says the word is like a hammer. The word is your tool that you are to use. You can use a a hammer to build something, to drive nails. You can use a hammer to demo stuff. You can rip stuff out with that. Amen? Pull things out with a hammer. Break down obstacles. Overcome negatives in people's lives. When we speak God's word faithfully, all kinds of positive things will begin to happen, and all kinds of opposition and obstacles, not only in our lives and in the lives of other people, will begin to be broken. James 8:31 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Hallelujah. His word will set people free. You can, drugs and alcohol, I don't need you anymore because Jesus, the Son of God, has set me free. That addictive behavior, you don't have any more control over me because Jesus has set me free. That bad habit that seems uncontrollable, said, "I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus." Amen. I can overcome this because Jesus has overcome it. We need to begin to speak the word. Speak the word in every situation. Romans 10:8. I want you to turn there. Romans 10:8. Says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are proclaiming." The word of God is in your, it's near you and it's in your mouth. It needs to come out of your mouth. Amen? You need to speak the word. Remember the centurion in the Bible? He asked Jesus to speak the word only, that his servant would be healed. He said, "No, you don't have to come. You don't have to lay hands on him. Just speak the word and it'll be done." He understood the power of the spoken word of God. We need to get that in us. God's all-powerful word, the word of faith, it is in your mouth to be spoken. When you speak God's word, power is released. That infinite power of God is released into that situation. And it'll bring forth astounding results. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Praise the Lord. Says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message." When you speak God's word to people, it will open up to them new dimensions in the Holy Spirit. It allows the Holy Spirit to come on to the scene, to come into their life. Amen. He's already been there, more than likely prompting them and leading them and arranging that divine appointment where you came across their path. You need to speak the word of God with boldness, declare to them, and allow the Holy Spirit to then begin to work in their lives and work in that situation. Amen. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in their hearts. You need to tell people what the Word of God says about peace and about hope and about freedom. Don't just recite scriptures to them. Let them know about the character of God and how it relates to you and how it relates to them. Right? We need to know what the Word says. Look back in Genesis chapter 1. We'll close with this. As I said earlier, that word accomplished there is the same word that we find that the Word of God will accomplish things when you speak the Word. It's the same Word where God made the expanse. But remember at the start of Genesis, where it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the earth. It says the earth was like that. It said God created the heavens and the earth. It said the earth was like that. It doesn't say the heavens were like that. It says the earth was without form, and it was void, and it was formless, and it was darkness. And when you go back in the original Hebrew and you look at what those words mean, it denotes something that's lying in waste, something that's worthless, something that in used in the Old Testament, it has, every time it's used, it has a disparaging and a negative tone. It speaks, void speaks of emptiness and ruin and darkness. It's associated with misery, confusion, and uncertainty. And when you read chapter 1, and then you read chapter 2, chapter 1 is kind of a broad overview of what God did. God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed. Verse 14, then God said, God made, in verse 16. If you go on all the way through there, and it says, God said, God said, God said. Then you get in chapter 2, and then God narrows it in the fifth and the sixth day. Because when you read it, and you really take it into, God said it, and Jesus brought it into existence. Because Jesus is the creator, that's what the Word says, right? In John chapter 1, verse 3, and John chapter 1, verse 10, Colossians chapter 1, Jesus is the one. God spoke it, and Jesus did it, and the Holy Spirit said the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the earth. The Holy Spirit was here. God spoke it in chapter 2. Jesus, so to speak, got his hands dirty. Right? Because it says that out of the dust of the ground, everything else, God spoke it. Right? And it said he spoke it and he made it. But then we see in chapter 2, it says that out of the dust of the ground, God formed man. And it says out of the ground, he formed every creeping thing and all the beasts of the field and all the birds that fly. Jesus got his hands dirty, so to speak, and he come down in the midst of that chaos, in the midst of that worthlessness, in the midst of that misery, and Jesus came there and he took all of it and he formed man, and there was disorder there, and he brought order to the earth. He'll do the same thing today in somebody's life. Doesn't matter if you feel worthless, if you feel in misery, if you've made a wreck, you've destroyed your life, Jesus can come down just like he did in the original creation. He don't worry about getting his hands dirty. He don't worry about you've been too bad. He doesn't worry about coming into a place where misery and all that there. He will come and he will take you and he will form you and he will bring order back into your life. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I just seen that yesterday. I've read the book of Genesis I don't know how many times. I'm sitting out on my porch yesterday morning and I'm journaling. And I'm like, wait a minute. He says he formed out of the ground. And it was like the Holy Spirit just said, yeah, out of that chaos, out of that misery, says he brought order. And he just didn't do it with man. He formed all the beasts of the earth and he brought them to Adam and he said, you name them. Talk about putting things in order. Amen. It doesn't matter how much of a mess people's lives is, Jesus can put their life back together. That is a message that we can share with people. Amen?
Yes.
That's the character of God from the beginning of time. The Holy Spirit was there hovering over the face of the earth. Jesus formed man. He formed everything else. Out of all that chaos, out of that misery, out of that disorder, he brought order and he brought everything that we see. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Amen. People will only have faith for the things that they hear about. People have faith in all kinds of things because they've heard about it and they accept it as truth. The same holds true for deliverance, for peace, for forgiveness, for healing, for provision, even miracles. If people never hear about them, they're never going to have faith for them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for your word. We thank you and we praise you, Father, that you are such a good God and loving God, and that you have brought many of us here whose lives were in chaos, who were in disorder, who felt worthless, Lord. That you've brought us from that. You've redeemed us from that. You've set us free from that. And Father, it's my prayer that every person in here would just restir that passion for personal evangelism, Lord. Just to share our faith in a way that leads more and more people to you and points more and more people to you. Father, I thank you for that and praise you for that. And Lord, I pray for those divine appointments, Lord, that you would just bring people across our path that we can share the goodness of God with them. Release the power of God into their life. Release the Holy Spirit into their life simply by declaring the word to them. We thank you for that. We praise you for that and give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.